The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. They say, that's amazing. How did you do that? I do it because I have like a good memory, because I'm cognitively there.
Well, we're all experiencing some memory and cognitive problems with the strange world that we're living in at the moment. But I'm joined by organisational psychologist Melrona Corrane, who may be able to keep us sane through some of it and explain some of it. But just to start with Donald Trump, the test that he did, a cognitive test that he did back in 2018, is known as the Montreal Cognitive Test. And he says he got 30 out of 30 on it. What do these cognitive tests really measure?
Okay, so there's cognitive tests that measure your IQ. IQ is measured in a number of different ways. So, for example, in organisations, employees are often screened before they are appointed to positions, and they're screened for things like IQ and personality. So looking at IQ first, so they would be measured on verbal reasoning, numerical reasoning and spatial reasoning. And the purpose is to ensure that you have high IQ employees, because they will learn faster, they'll be able to manage complex data quite coherently. So you want bright people on your team. And then the other kind of test that's done is personality test. The thing about cognitive ability is there's really good research showing that it predicts performance to quite a significant degree, especially in complex jobs.
The kind of test as well that Montreal test that I think Donald Trump did in 2018, it's about assessing whether there has been any mental decline.
Deficit in memory,
So for example, one of the questions is it shows a picture of a lion and you've got to identify it as a lion. Mm-hmm. So it's got nothing to do with an IQ test at all, has it?
Absolutely. That's testing memory of some kind. But IQ would incorporate things like working memory and perceptual reasoning ability and spatial reasoning ability. But for an organisation, you'd be less likely to test memory. That sounds more like a clinical test. You know, is memory fading? What you want is a high level of working memory and processing speed. And that's what an IQ test will measure.
During the pandemic, with so many people working from home, do you think, to some extent, is our ability to focus and perform affected by all of that going on?
Well, yeah, probably no question, because basically structure is a good element of a well-run day. And so when you're in an office environment and you've got tasks and meetings and it's mapped out according to a timetable, that's very supportive for getting through a day. Whereas at home, there's less of that physical structure and then timetable structure. And so people have to install that for themselves, and that can be a bit of a workload to do.
When you look at the usefulness of these tests and how they can be put on by employers when somebody's applying for a job, about to do a job, is it totally fair of employers to look at those sort of cognitive issues?
Yeah, it's kind of debatable, and there's a big debate in the literature about the fairness of them. The thing is that actually applicants kind of expect them at this point, and they are regarded as objective measures of personality and cognitive ability. And the data is very clear that it's a far less biased process than an interview, for example. And so I think an employer is entitled to know what's coming in the door. But actually, the only value of these tests is if you know what the job requires. And so what are the abilities that are required by the person doing the job? And are you testing for those abilities? But there are other tests that are used that are subject to questions, you know, integrity tests, drug tests, all of those types of things.
And integrity tests?
Yeah.
Whether you have a conscience,
whether you're
a compulsive liar?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, for example, in terms of personality...
Can you cheat, Melrona? Can you cheat on these
That's
tests?
A really
Is
good
there an
question,
app?
Yeah. There's a lot of research done on faking and ferreting out fakers of tests. And that's probably a good thing. But then there's another line of reasoning which talks about the failure to fake. And that if you think about the work environment, we put our best foot forward and we like to, you know, present ourselves in the best possible way. And engaging in customer-facing roles, you need to put on a smile and you need to be your best self. And so there's an element of faking in that. So if the applicant fails to fake, you might think, well, are they able to pick up social cues and be able to respond effectively to situations that arise?
So if you've got the job, you're doing the job, But let's say at the moment you're working from home. When you look at this debate about remote working versus offices, do offices help us to concentrate? Is it easier in an office?
Well, I guess it depends on the layout of the office. You know, the structure of an office and just being in the headspace of the professional environment is supportive for task focus. But if the office is a big open plan, noisy, distracting environment, that's not always conducive to concentration, I guess.
Pros and cons with everything. Melrona Carain, organisational psychologist, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.